الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله we praise Allah we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds whoever Allah guides there is none that can lead him astray and whoever is led astray then there is no guide for him I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah He is alone and has no partners and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, for your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah whom demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins and whoever obeys Allah. And His Messenger achieves the greatest achievement, Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a string. And every string is in the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in His book, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Say, are those who know equal to those who don't know? Meaning, no. The ones who know are better than the ones who don't know. And the ones who know are not equal to those who don't know. And this statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising the people of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ Allah has raised up in degrees those from amongst you who believe and those who have been given knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this ayah also, He shows that He has raised those from amongst us who have knowledge. That He's raised them in degrees. That there are levels above the rest of the people because of the knowledge that they have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ The only people who really fear Allah are the people of knowledge, or the ulama. The only people who really fear Allah are the people of knowledge. And this is a statement also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising the people of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, ask the people of knowledge when you don't know. Or ask أَهْلُ الذِّكْرِ, meaning the people of knowledge, of the people of the knowledge of revelation, meaning the Qur'an and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask them when you don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Allah bears witness that no God has the right to be worshipped but Him, and the angels and the people of knowledge also bear witness. Allah's witness is sufficient, as He says in other ayat, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا, and Allah is sufficient as a witness. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, as the ulama explained, that He added the angels and the people of knowledge, they also bear witness, because their witness is not like the witness of the ordinary people, because they have knowledge. And this is a statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to praise the people of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. They say, meaning the people who will be in the hellfire, they say, if we would have only listened, if we would have only listened and understood or used our intellect, we would not have been from the people of the hellfire. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he uses this ayat to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the people of knowledge, because their knowledge will keep them away from the hellfire. And the people of the hellfire are blaming themselves when they enter the fire, if they only had some knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other ayat, He encourages us to seek the knowledge, as He teaches His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers, قُرْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Say, O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in other ayat, وَلَا تَقُفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. And don't say what you have no knowledge of. Indeed, the hearing, the sight, and the intellect will all be questioned. Don't say what you have no knowledge of. This is like an encouragement for you to gain knowledge, so that you don't have to continue speaking with what you have no knowledge of, because the hearing and the sight and the intellect will all be questioned. Meaning, on Yawmul Qiyamah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these ayat are ayat to praise the people of knowledge and to encourage the believers to seek knowledge. Just as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages us with the likes of his statement, alayhi salatu wassalam, من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. From the hadith of al-Bukhari Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whoever Allah wants good for, He will give him an understanding of this deen, or a fiqh of this deen. And some of the ulama, they say that a real fiqh of this deen is not simply an understanding, but it's an understanding that's coupled with actions. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of al-Bukhari Muslim, he says, خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا فَقُهُ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, the best of you in jahiliyyah are the best of you in Islam, provided that he gets a fiqh of this deen, or an understanding of this deen coupled with actions. The best of you in jahiliyyah, meaning those with good characteristics, like good character, meaning they treat the people kindly and fairly, they're compassionate, merciful with the people, they keep good family ties, they take care of their children, they're kind to their wives, they're good to their neighbors. Other characteristics like these, if a person had them in jahiliyyah, that would make him from amongst the better people. When he accepted Islam, provided that he got a fiqh of this deen, or an understanding of this deen, then likewise he would be best in this deen. But if he was the best in jahiliyyah, like in the case of many of the educated people who get doctor's degrees or master's or bachelor's or what have you, and then when they accept Islam, they don't gain any understanding of this deen. They think simply that their education in the schools is going to make them above the dropout who sat in the masjid every day and learnt Islam. But he should understand that the one who came before us, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, he didn't read or write, but he came the most knowledgeable person, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. And this was the same case with the hafiz of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Huraira,
who didn't read or write. But on top of that, he became the biggest scholar of the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his close stay in the masjid. Radiallahu anhu wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qal, Ya ayyuhan nas ta'allamu fa innamal ilmu bit ta'allum wa innamal fiqhu bit tafaqquh. And this authentic hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, O humanity, I command you to learn, and learning is, or I command you to seek knowledge, and knowledge is only acquired by seeking it. And gaining an understanding is by seeking it, or getting a fiqh of this deen is by seeking to get a fiqh of this deen, or meaning holding on to the people of knowledge and seeking the knowledge that they have. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Imam Muslim, he says, من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, whoever treads a path seeking knowledge in that path, then Allah would make it easy for him to path to Jannah. Showing that this knowledge will make it easy for you to get to Jannah. And this is an encouragement by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to seek the knowledge. And Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْتَزِعُ الْعِلْمَ إِنْتِزَاعًا يَنْتَزِعُهُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ وَلَكِنْ يَنْتَزِعُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ حتى إذا لم يبق عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith of Al-Bukhari Muslim, he says that indeed Allah would not snatch away the knowledge by just snatching it away from the people, but the knowledge will be taken away by the dying off of the people of knowledge until there's no more knowledgeable people left. Then the people take the ignorant as their leaders, and they ask them Islamic questions, and they answer without any knowledge, and they go astray, meaning the leaders, they go astray, and they lead astray, meaning they lead the people astray. And these ayat and these hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a clear praising of the people of knowledge. And there's an encouragement from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to seek the knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us here, walhamdulillah, a masjid wa ahl sunnah, to have been favored with many people of knowledge to come visit us. But how often do these ayat and these hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how often are they forgotten by the people of this masjid? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to remember His book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I hope that the mentioning of these ayah and these hadith are in light of the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And remind, because a reminder benefits the believers. The importance of knowledge cannot be stressed enough. This is the way to Jannah, and it is the way to save ourselves from the hellfire, and this is by seeking the knowledge. So let's be very eager, inshaAllah Ta'ala, to encourage each other to seek this knowledge. Because unfortunately, I think, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, oftentimes when the people make a statement that we're trying to be on what's correct, they forget that in trying to be on that, it's a constant struggle, and it's a constant striving to acquire what will keep you on what's correct. And it's not simply just a statement on your tongues, as some people may believe. Allah Ta'ala, He says, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا دُخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. O you who believe, enter into Islam wholeheartedly. It's not that you just say, I'm with it, I'm down with the truth, I'm with the people of the haq, but that you have to strive and struggle to be on that path. And that path is, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had explained, acquiring knowledge is by seeking it. And you have to seek it by going to the people of knowledge, as Allah Ta'ala commands us, ask the people of knowledge when you don't know. Or as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in the hadith of Abu Dawood, قتلوه قاتلهم الله ألا سألوا حين لم يعلموا إنما شفاع العي السؤال. In this hadith by Abu Dawood, as the Prophet ﷺ says, they killed him, may the curse of Allah be on them. Why didn't they ask when they didn't know? The only cure for ignorance is the question. This was the case when they were traveling, and the man, he got wounded. So then he had a wet dream, and he had to take a ghusl for the Fajr Salah. So he said, I think that if I took a ghusl, my wound might get worse, and it might be bad for me. Do you think I could do something else? They said, no. We don't see nothing else you can do but take the ghusl. So he took it, and his wound got worse, and he died. So they mentioned it back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said they killed him, meaning with their ignorant fatwa, not based on Allah's book or the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the curse of Allah be on them. Why didn't they ask when they didn't know? Indeed, the only cure for ignorance is the question. This question is not just a question here or there, it's by sitting with the people of knowledge and learning. Because oftentimes the question might be a class, and the answer to your question might be a class. Or the answer to your question might be a lecture. And sometimes you need to sit down and listen to the different evidences and the explanations of those evidences so that you can, and then get a chance to question to make sure that you understand those evidences and what have you, so that you have a real answer to your question. Because this is what is desired. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to follow the people of knowledge and to ask the people of knowledge, it's not to ask the people of knowledge what is their opinion, how do they feel, what do they like in doing such and such, but that you ask the people of knowledge because they are knowledgeable of Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is what is being asked of them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا. O you who believe, I command you to obey Allah, and I command you to obey the messenger and those in authority from amongst yourselves. If you differ in anything, then take it back to Allah and the Messenger if you believe in Allah and the last day. That is better as a final decision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat, he says, O you who believe, I command you to obey Allah, and I command you to obey the Messenger and those in authority from amongst you. Those in authority from amongst you refers to the people of knowledge and the people of leadership from amongst the Muslims. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he didn't repeat the word obey when it came to those in authority from amongst you. He said, obey Allah, obey the Messenger, and those in authority from amongst you. And the ulama, they explained that this is because there is no absolute obedience except to Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everyone else will only be obeyed as much as they are calling to Allah's book and the sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the authentic hadith, إِنَّمَا الطَّاعَةُ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ, that obedience is only in the ma'roof. The ma'roof, that which is in accordance to Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as the Prophet made this statement at the end of another story that had taken place with some of his sahaba. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made one of them an amir and sent them on a journey. And then when they got where they were going, or during this journey, the Amir, he said, am I not your Amir? And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam made me in charge of you. They said, yes. He said, to obey me? Yes. He said, okay, go get me some firewood and make a fire. So they got the firewood and made the fire, and then he said, jump in it. Then they started looking at each other, jump in it. And then as they're sitting there looking at each other saying, you know, we only follow the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam running from the fire, not to jump in it and what have you and this and that. And the Amir got mad, did not tell you to obey me and so on and so forth. At any rate, while all this took place, the fire died out. So then when they came back, they mentioned the story to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he said, obedience is only in the ma'roof. Meaning those people who are in charge of you, meaning the people of knowledge, the scholars, and the people of leadership position amongst the Muslims, that you only obey them when they tell you to obey Allah and obey His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And other than that, there's no obedience except in obedience to Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah says as we continue in that ayah, so if you differ in anything, if you and your people of knowledge, or if you and your leaders, if you differ in anything, take it back to Allah and the Messenger. Back to Allah, back to the Book of Allah. Back to the Messenger, back to him directly during his life, and that which has been authentically reported on him after his death. If you believe in Allah on the last day, that's better as a final decision. If you have real iman, then this is the course that you take in learning your deen. That you go to the people of knowledge and ask them about Allah's book and the sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when there's any difference, then it goes back to Allah's book and the sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not like the people have been doing in the past, and now they're doing it right now. If the people of knowledge are challenged because you don't accept their position, it doesn't seem to be in accordance with Allah's book and the sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some people say that you can't question the leadership, or that you can't question the people of knowledge. What is meant by the statement of Allah, if you differ in something, then take it back to Allah and the Messenger? There's going to be differences, but we've been commanded to take it back to the book of Allah and the sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if the leadership is correct, it should be easy to say, I'm calling you to what is based on the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such and such. I'm calling you to establish what's based on the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you and the people of knowledge differ, then it should be easy for the people of knowledge to quote Allah's book and the sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to make the issue clear. And then after the issue has been made clear, then it's upon us to do as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands, as he says in his statement, فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادْ أَلَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give glad tidings to my servants, those who listen to what's being said and follow the best of it. Those are the ones who are on guidance, and they are the ones with a real intellect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls us to listen to what's being said and to follow what we see to be the best of what's being said. This is the correct position. And if the difference of an opinion continues and the arguing and debating comes amongst the Muslims, then the best thing is to drop it and to take the advice of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. اقرأوا القرآن ما اتلفت عليه قلوبكم وإذا اختلفتم فقوموا عنه. In the hadith of Bukhari and others, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, read the Quran so long as you agree that each ayat has a particular meaning, but if you differ, then disperse. Meaning, once the evidences of the kitab and the sunnah have been presented and then the difference continues, disperse. Because the Muslim shouldn't argue back and forth over Allah's book and the sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but to leave the people to listen to what's being said and to follow the best of it. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He advises in other ayat, وأطيعوا الله ورسوله ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم واصبروا إن الله مع الصابرين. And obey Allah and His Messenger, and don't differ, as this will take from this will make you failures or losers, and it will take away your strength. But be patient, indeed Allah is with the patient. So this is what we find in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, to keep us away from differences and to stay away from that, because that will make us failures. and it won't take away our strength as an ummah. But be patient. Indeed, Allah is with the patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praises the people of knowledge and calls us to seek this knowledge. And this should be the way of our lives, seeking the knowledge of Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not being like those Muslims who don't seek the knowledge. So you find them in Islam for 1 year, or 5 years, or 10 years, or 15 years, or 20 or more years, and they still haven't learned. And they have the argument like they say, "Brother, when did you accept Islam?" "Well, I only accepted Islam 15 years ago. Well, I accepted Islam 30 years ago. And I'm telling you such and such." Wallahi, Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not make the person right because of the length of Islam that he has under his belt. And why should someone use that as evidence, as the brothers and sisters have, when they haven't learned anything in 30 years? No classes are in their masjids. No books are being sold in their masjids. No tapes are being sold in their masjids. No people of knowledge are coming to their masjids. They know good and well hasn't had a class in their masjid for the last 10 years. How can they say they know Islam? They haven't read any books on Islam. They don't have any books on Islam. And if they had books on Islam, then who are the people to explain to them what those books mean? You can't simply just pick up a book and then that's it. If that was the case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have sent the Qur'an to everybody's mailbox. And then you just pick up the Qur'an and read it and understand it as you like. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And we have revealed to you the revelation, to you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that you can explain to humanity what has been revealed to them so that perhaps they may reflect. You need an explanation of this deen. As what is written, you need to see how it is to be practiced out in your lives. And this is why the scholars of this deen, they follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself in calling us to follow the way of our Salaf al-Salih. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith of al-Bukhari Muslim, خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, "O humanity," the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, "The best of humanity is my generation, then the generation that followed them, then the generation that followed them." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he praised them for a reason, to show you that thus the way that you should be following or practicing this deen of Al-Islam after him, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith we were mentioning earlier in the khutbah, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعْشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَى اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءُ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whoever amongst you lives will see many differences of an opinion. And in one of the narrations of Ibn Majah, سَيَرَى اخْتِلَافًا شَدِيدًا, you will see very strong, serious differences of an opinion. So I advise you to hold on to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas who come after me. The rightly guided khalifas who come after me, that refers to the sahaba of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he calls you to follow their way so that you can know how to practice Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls us to. As Allah ta'ala, He says, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. If they believe in what you believe in, then they would have been guided. If they, those who come after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba, if they believe in what you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba believe in, they, those who came after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba, will be guided. How are you going to be guided? By believing in and following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who came after him. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in other ayat, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَىٰ وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّىٰ وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ سَبِيلًا وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and whoever opposes the messenger after clear guidance has come to him and follows a path other than the path of the believers, he will turn him to that which he turns himself to and enter him into Jahannam, or what an evil abode. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat, he teaches or calls the people to follow the way of the believers. And this refers to the Sahaba of the Messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it doesn't refer to the way of every believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says, whoever follows a way other than the way of the believers, we return him to what he's turned himself to and enter him into Jahannam, or what an evil abode. That isn't just the way of any Muslim. That's the way of the Muslims who are upon the Kitab and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from amongst the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'in and the Ulama of this Deen and everybody who followed their way. Do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says follow a way other than the believers? The believers who are astray, who make dhikr to music, and then they rock back and forth and dance and sing as they say who, 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 or whatever they do in their funny type of dhikr. Or the people who beat themselves up and cut themselves up on whatever day they claim to be celebrating. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling us to follow their way because they say that they're Muslims? To follow the way of people who say that Allah came in the person of so and so, and that so and so is the messenger to us. Is this the way of the believers? The way of the believers, when they tell you to leave your family and your children and your responsibilities and then to go in the path of Allah for so and so amount of days, is this what we've been called to? Is this the way of the believers? Drinking, smoking, gambling, having stores selling pork and lottery tickets and what have you. This is the way of the believers because they say that they're Muslims. No, it's referring to the Muslims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the likes of his statement, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and the first foremost from amongst the Muhajirun and the Ansar. The Muhajirun, those who made hijrah with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Al-Madinah. The Ansar, the believers of Al-Madinah. The first, the foremost from amongst those Muhajirun and Ansar, and those that followed their way. Meaning those that follow the way of the Muhajirun and the Ansar, who are the Sahaba of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala, he says, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with him. And he's prepared for them jannat, gardens underneath which rivers flow, abiding there forever. And that is the greatest achievement. Jannah and earning the pleasure of Allah and achieving the greatest achievement is by following the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how you know how to practice Allah's book and the Sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is important to understand, as oftentimes when the call is made to the Quran and the Sunnah, and there's no more important call than the call to Allah's book and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to leave off blind following all in all of its manifestations, and not to obey anyone and not to follow anyone absolutely or in opposition to Allah's book and the Sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When in making this call to Allah's book and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oftentimes the point is overlooked. And how are you going to understand and follow Allah's book and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How are you going to practice the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your lives? It's by following the way of the Sahaba. The way of the Sahaba, they are those with the best understanding of Allah's book and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if that was not the case, then what we would be saying is that Islam was not understood until the latter generations came. Meaning the Quran and the Sunnah was never understood in practice till we came. Because if you bear witness that the Quran and the Sunnah was understood and practiced correctly, then you're saying that you have to follow those people, because that's the only way to understand and practice the Quran correctly. And if you say that your understanding is more correct, then you're saying that the people who came before you didn't understand and practice the Quran. And if you know what you're saying, you're jeopardizing your Islam by disbelief and defaming or criticizing and blaming the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how can you blame someone that Allah has praised? As Allah says in other ayat, وَكُلًّا وَعِدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مَنْ أَنْفَقَ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَاتَلْ أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ وَقَاتَلُوا وَكُلًّا وَعِدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. They are not all equal. Those who gave their wealth and fought before the conquest, they are on a greater level with Allah than those who gave their wealth and fought after the conquest of Mecca. But for all of them is Jannah. This refers to the Sahaba of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was down with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the conquest of Mecca. Because as you know, after the conquest of Mecca, everybody got down because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers took over, and everybody just followed suit. But those people who follow suit at the end, they're not like those who were down from the beginning, from amongst the Sahaba of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But for all of them is Jannah. Who after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam companion can you say is in Jannah? When it's from the aqeed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that we do not bear witness that anyone is in Jannah or the hellfire except those that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam bears witness that they are in Jannah or in the hellfire. If this is the praising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a people, then how can you feel that yourselves, how can you feel yourselves that you're better than them? Or that you have a better understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah than them? Or that you have a better practice of the Quran and the Sunnah than those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with and praised and said that they are from amongst the people of Jannah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with those also who follow their way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who follow their way. I wanted to remind myself and the believers this evening of the importance of seeking knowledge. Because oftentimes the believers have left off this important aspect of their lives. And we're seeing more and more people these days, unfortunately, leaving off seeking knowledge. And when you leave off this, it makes blind following very easy for you. And it's become very easy for the Muslim today to say, so-and-so told me to do that, that's why I'm doing it. And now he wants to fight, and he wants to live and die on the statement of so-and-so, not knowing if it's in accordance with Allah's book or the Sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, using the flimsy excuse, so-and-so knows the Quran and the Sunnah. Do you think he will make a verdict in opposition to that? Yes. Because he's a human being, and perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's nobody who's right in everything. And what do you understand from the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكَمُ ثُمَّ اجْتَهَدَ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا وَإِذَا حَكَمَ ثُمَّ اجْتَهَدَ فَأَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ. From the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, if the Muslim scholar does his best to achieve a verdict, and then he's right, he gets two rewards. And if he's wrong, he gets one reward. Two rewards, one for the intention to get the reward of what was correct, and then the second reward for actually being correct. And then in the second case, getting one reward for having the intention and striving to do what was correct, and not earning the other reward because he was not correct. Here, this is a statement from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show that the people of knowledge will be wrong. Is there someone more knowledgeable than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is there someone who knows the scholars that will come after him alayhi salatu wasalam better than he did? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He does not speak from his own desires, but he only speaks from revelation revealed to him. But if you don't seek the knowledge of Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you have no other option except to be a parrot or a blind follower of what the people say. If they say good, then you're okay. And if they're wrong, then you're in trouble, because you don't learn for yourself what is right or wrong. You don't learn Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you don't, you set yourselves up for major trouble. But Muslim scholars past and present have differed, and you have to listen to their arguments and to choose what is most correct. And the only way to do that is to get very acquainted and to increase your knowledge of Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Oftentimes we're seeing in these days, unfortunately, that either the new Muslims or the Muslims who are coming back to their deen, you find that they're spending no time in Allah's house trying to learn his book and the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How are they going to get on top of their deen if they don't learn Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And that's not going to come in one day or one night, and not by one lecture or one khutbah, that this is going to come by being constantly on top of being with the people of knowledge, listening to their lectures, reading their books, trying to learn Allah's deen by his book and the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But this is not the case for so many Muslims nowadays, and I feel sorry for them, because the evidence and the proof is against them. It's not like it used to be 15 years ago, or 20 or 25 years ago, when there was nothing available. We remember when we accepted Islam, there was nobody there to teach us the Quran if we wanted to learn the Quran. There was no one to teach you. You can say, go to so and so, he knows how to read the Quran with tajweed, and he'll teach you. Wasn't nobody. You couldn't even go to read a book. Where was Sahih Muslim or Sahih Bukhari? Even if it was translated, it was rare, it wasn't even in circulation. People had to travel. I remember in those days, we had to travel to purchase a translation of the Quran. We had to travel to purchase a translation of the Quran. Things just weren't available. What were the books on Aqeedah translated? What were the books on Tafsir of Allah's book translated? What were the books on the fiqh issues translated? What was available for us to acquire? But now, alhamdulillah, there's too much available. And whoever doesn't take advantage of it, then he's going to let what's available be evidence against him. This is in general. And in particular, if you're right here at Masjid wa Ahl Sunnah, with so much going on, alhamdulillah, and you don't take advantage of it, how can you think that this will not be evidence against yourselves? Education is going on and you're not taking advantage of it. The Quran is being taught over there, you're not sitting with the brother to learn the Quran. Arabic is being taught over there, you're not sitting over there to make sure you get down your Arabic. This is being taught, that's being taught. Those books are being sold on this issue or that issue. Those tapes are being sold on this issue or that issue. You still don't know what time it is. How many people have had babies? They still don't even know how to name their children with Islamic names. They still don't even know the etiquettes of having a baby. What to do when the baby is born. Yeah, subhanallah. How can you be that way when the knowledge is available? How can your wife go 9 months, you don't know, you didn't learn what to do when that baby is born? How many months do you need to learn how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then you want to know, after the issue is over with, 15 years later, wasn't I supposed to do such and such? Shouldn't I have named my child such and such? Do I have to change my child's name? And so on and so forth. The issues, these are issues that affect us directly, let alone the other general issues of this deen that we need to learn so that we understand them when they come to affect us. How are we going to be able to teach our children this deen if we don't have anything? How are we going to practice the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, I command you to save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stones. How are you going to be able to practice that ayat in your lives? When the ulama of Islam, they say that save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is men and stones, that means learn Islam, Practice Islam to set an example for your family, and then teach your family Islam. And be patient with what you have to go through while you teach them the Islam. How are we going to practice the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? الرجال قوامون على النساء. That the men are the providers and the maintainers of the women. Or the قوامون على النساء. Or as the ulama, they explain, as we say usually, the providers and the maintainers, they are the educators and the ones that keep the women on track with knowledge from Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and practice in accordance with it. How are you going to practice the likes of these ayat if you don't even know that they're in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book? And then if you know that they're in His book, you don't know the understanding of them. And if you know the understanding of them, then you're not even practicing them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge and practice that goes along with it. This is what I wanted to remind myself of and the brothers and the sisters this evening. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. I don't know if there were any questions or any comments on what was presented. If so, we'll open the floor for some of those questions. And then if not, if there's any questions in general, then we'll try to take some time now to handle some of those questions, inshallah. Tabarak wa ta'ala. Bismillah. I remember years ago in the classes, we used to take up all of the time, so there would be no time for questions and answers. So at the end of the class, when the questions came, we say, hold up, let's do it for next week, we don't have any time. The next week, get that class off, tell them the questions, hold off to next week, and keep going. Some of the people, they felt that it wasn't fair, that the questions weren't being answered. But the questions, they usually come from people who don't know anything. But once you start sitting and learning, then you find that all your questions are answered. When you sit and start learning, then you find that all your questions are answered. Because then you don't really have so many questions. You're in a mode of learning. So what you're doing is you're waiting for the information, the knowledge to come, and then you're trying to digest it. And you don't have a million questions like the people who don't study. And our shuyukh, they used to say that you can tell the questions from the ignorant as opposed to the knowledgeable. Because the ignorant, they're questioning, they're just all over the place, they don't know anything. And their questions are evidence of that. But the people of knowledge, you find in their questions how knowledgeable they are. Because you see the points that they're asking and the points that they're trying to know. And oftentimes the people who don't sit in any of the classes, they can't even handle the answers. When you give them the answer, they rephrase the question to you in another way. Because they think that you didn't answer his question. Because he doesn't even know how to take the answer and work with it. He doesn't know how to take the answer and work with it. Because he doesn't know. And people are on that level. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase them in knowledge. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being from amongst them. But you find if you're on top of your classes and learning and reading, you find that you rarely have questions. What you're trying to do is handle what you already have. All that questioning about what if, this, that, so on and so forth. Why are you trying to ask about stuff that you want to, if you have the answer, you wouldn't even practice? Don't you know the people were destroyed who came before you? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Duruni ma taraktukum." فإنما هلك الذين من قبلكم كثرة سؤالهم واختلافهم على الأنبياء فإذا نهيتكم عن شيء فاجتنبوه وإذا أمرتكم بشيء فأتوا منه ما استطعتم أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, leave me alone with what I left you with. Leave me alone with what I left you with. Indeed, the people came before you were only destroyed because of too much questioning and differencing about their prophets, meaning believing in some of their prophets and disbelieving in others. So if I prohibit you from something, stay away from it. And if I command you to do something, do it as much as you could. Don't get into all of these questions. Like the case was when the Prophet ﷺ made the likes of the statement,
The Prophet ﷺ told the people to make Hajj. Somebody said, every year, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet ﷺ said, make Hajj. Because if I told you every year, you wouldn't have the ability to do so. And then, if you didn't have the ability to do so, you would have disbelieved. Nah. Prophet ﷺ told you to do something, and this is your deen, and then you don't do it, you would have disbelief. Just like the Prophet ﷺ, he said, الْأَهْدُ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. That which is between us and them is the salah. Whoever leaves it has disbelieved. Nah, why are you asking, how do I got to do it every year? And you find the people, they have these type of questions, like the Jews, what color? Slaughter. Slaughter the cow. What color? Big, large, small, what size? Over there in his backyard or mine. Instead of just doing what you've been commanded. Then if you get the details, you ain't going to be able to do it. But you find this from the people who are ignorant. But the people who have knowledge and are trying to stay on top of their deen, they don't want another question because they don't want too much responsibility that they can't handle. They're taking it like the Sahaba used to take it. We didn't learn, after we take 10 ayat, we didn't learn anything more than that till we got that down and practiced it. Then we got that down, then we go to get some more. And like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to educate those Muslims from amongst us who are still ignorant. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, jazakallahu khairan, to be reminders to our brothers and sisters of the importance of seeking knowledge. Knowledge of Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because wallahi today, even with the presence of so much knowledge, the people are in need of it as much as they were in need of it yesterday. Even though we have more knowledge available today, the people are in need of it today just as they were yesterday. Wallahi, you can't imagine some of the ignorance that we see here. If it wasn't that I just didn't want to make fun of the people, I would mention some of the ignorance that I see of brothers who attend the masjid regularly, thinking that they're on something, and they're on nothing. And if they really want to know, without me embarrassing them, just go ask your wife at home. As the women, mashallah, they seem to be on top of the studies more so than the men. And oftentimes in the arguments, you find that the sister knows and the husband, he doesn't know. Can't even educate his wife. Wallahi, he can't even lead his wife into Hajjah because he doesn't know any Qur'an. And then he gets mad at his wife because his wife is always correcting him. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I don't know what he said. She had to say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And then correcting him all through the salah. And then he getting mad. Come to the masjid, Imam. My wife can't correct me like that, can she? She's only supposed to go like this. The type of clap with cupped hands. Or this is all that she can say when there's a mistake. Wallahi, she might sound like music in the house. Constantly correcting her husband because he doesn't know anything. Or the salah will be 1 second because he only knows one ayah. Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Now, wallahi, it's funny on the one hand, but it's sad on the other, that this is the case of people with knowledge available. Before, we had an excuse, it wasn't available. But now, when it's available, what is your excuse? Wallahi, you see some of the people, they don't have the slightest idea of what's going on. Coming to the masjid every day. Wallahi, advise the brothers. I've heard so many fatwas from the brothers. It's a good thing you all save them. I don't know why you hide them from us. I don't know why you hide the brothers from me. Wallahi. We brothers. Somebody says, a Muslim or so-and-so wants you. I say, what's his name? You tell me his name. Because he wants to see me. All right, if so-and-so says such-and-such, why you can't tell me what his name is? If so-and-so says such-and-so, why you can't tell me what his name is? That's ghibah? That's namima? Nah. He just said something, that's all. You heard it. You told me what he said. Why you can't say who he is? Why you can't say who he is so he can be corrected? You want your brother to remain ignorant? Allah, I've heard dozens of ignorant fatawa from the brothers. I don't know who they are. I might be talking to them. I can't even correct them. Nobody can correct them. Because we going around each other saying, guess what somebody said? So and so. Nah, nobody couldn't have said that. And he said, oh, that's wrong? Because he don't know either. Both of them don't know. And then they're asking, then they just keep it like that. Then they never even get to learn. Allah, the people need to be educated. And they need to sit down and learn their deen. Because, wallahi, I'd be ashamed that when the people of knowledge come, you don't see the masjid packed. And I've been to some other masjids when the people of knowledge come, their masjid looks like Jumu'ah. I said, subhanallah, I went to a masjid for Maghrib. The people of knowledge were there. It looked like Jumu'ah. What class do we have that looks like Jumu'ah? Wallahi, the people are not in need of what the ulama have and what they present. We're not in need of that. That's why we're not at the masjid. Wallahi, we're in need of that and more. And wallahi, they're even more patient than you understand when they come to us. They come to us knowing that we don't even know the language of the Muslims. Nah. They come to us knowing we don't even know the language of the Muslims. We can't even understand them. And we're so far behind that we think that knowing Arabic makes you a scholar. Every Muslim is supposed to know Arabic. May Allah help us to make our children understand this language. Because we think that to learn Arabic, you're a scholar. Man, a brother know Arabic. Now, every Muslim person, what's the language of the Muslims? Prayer. Why is it amazing somebody know Arabic? He Muslim. Then people say, he not even Arab, man. Look at his Arabic. What do it mean if you Arab, not Arab, what your Arabic look like? It don't have nothing to do with it. It don't have nothing to do with it. Wallahi, we gave the lecture from Ramadan about Allah's book, the Quran. These narrations that take you back to the Prophet ﷺ, many of these narrations, of these recitations, are on the tongues of non-Arabs. Blind non-Arabs. Wallahi, blind non-Arabs, everyone has to go to them to get the Quran. Everyone has to go to get the Quran. To one of the Khalifas, he had to say, son, don't be like your father. Black man put me on hold, and I can't know the truth till I go through him. Don't be like me. Now, one of the ulama, I think, is our fault. You see, the Khalifa come, he hurry up, go make some sunnahs. You say Baqarah, put the Khalifa on hold. Now, wait for this knowledge. Knowledge don't come to you, you come to the knowledge. You say, boy, look at how you do me. Son, you gotta learn this deen, man. Be like me. Humiliate myself. Wallahi, a lot of people are amazed. Bukhari, he's an Arab. Bukhari, he's an Arab. When you say that's in Bukhari, how everybody feel? Sahih. Is there a statement when you say the Prophet said collected by Bukhari? Statement stronger than that? To show the authenticity of the hadith? He Arab? Fire. Is it something amazing that he's not Arab? No, he's not amazing, man. He's Muslim. It's the language of the Muslims. See the way. The Arabic scholar. When you mention the epitome of knowledge of the Arabic language, they say he's like a Sibawi. Meaning he's like the top person in Arabic. Who's Sibawi? He Arab Persian. He ain't Arab. Why people amazed? Wallahi, this is because of our ignorance. That we're so far behind, we don't even understand that what is normal we view as extraordinary. And this is the case, as some of the ulama say, your pious are sinners. The pious amongst you are sinners, meaning the best you could do is commit sins, because the majority are drowning in major kaba'ir. So the best people are just chronic sinners. Or like the ulama, they say, you're educated or ignorant. Nah. You say, mashallah, he knows Arabic. All right, make him a scholar. May Allah increase us in knowledge. What is to happen if you have a child by a brother and he has not performed the aqiqah for his child? He is 3 years old and I have remarried. Is my new husband held accountable? See where the ignorance is at? No, seriously. When do you do aqiqah for your child? Seventh day. How does somebody get to be 3 years old? No, how does somebody get to be 3 years old? Before you get married, you deciding to get married, shouldn't you know about aqiqah? No, you deciding, you ain't even married yet. Everybody, they be sitting around, oh, I gotta get married. Tell a brother, you don't need to get married. He looking at me all strange, man. You gotta want for your brother what you want for yourself. Yeah, that's why I don't want you to get married. Because I wouldn't want to get married either if I was in your state. Ignorant, what you gonna offer the sister? You don't even know what to do for your child if the lady is pregnant for you. You don't even know what to do. And this is why the questions, they always come, I didn't do, I don't even know what I should have done. Did I even do? They don't even know. Wallahi, this is how far we have gone in ignorance with so much knowledge available. Wallahi, the case of the sister and the child, may Allah make it easy on them. May Allah make it easy on them. May Allah make it easy on the women and the children. Wallahi, it's the responsibility of the men. Whose responsibility to perform the aqiqah for the children? The lady? What did the lady look like after 7 days delivering, after giving a baby? 7 days later. She gonna do, go slaughter a sheep? Nah, that's what she gonna do? Who gonna slaughter? The man ain't gonna slaughter the baby already, 3 years old. He ain't did nothing yet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Really, once something done passed, it's over with. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Even though some of the ulama, they say, give the aqiqah anyway. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam, because it's over with. The Prophet told us to do on the seventh day. He didn't say, if you can't do it on the seventh day, do it on the 12th day. If you can't do that, then do this. And he says that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صل قائما فإن لم تستطع فقاعدا فإن لم تستطع فعلى جنب. To the end of the hadith, I forgot the rest of it. Prophet ﷺ, he says, I command you to make salah standing. If you don't have the ability, then sitting. And if you don't have the ability, then laying down. Now Prophet ﷺ could have said, Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he could have said, make the aqiqah on the seventh day. And whoever doesn't have the ability, then the 14th. And whoever doesn't have the ability, then the 21st, for example. The Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he could have said that if he wanted to. He couldn't say that. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when it came to making Hajj and Umrah, he told you to shave your heads. If you want the big reward, if you don't, just shorten. It's alternatives. Prophet ﷺ mentions. I don't know that he mentioned any alternative when it came to making the aqiqah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know if there was anything else left. We'll end there. I didn't really want to get heated tonight. But some of the brothers, I think they brought it out of me. Because some of the brothers are upset. Some of you are upset that other people, they don't even learn. They don't even learn. And even, unfortunately, Somebody had encouraged me, shut down the lounge. Man, we, you know, get to know one another. Get to know one another, man. I came to, it's becoming the headquarters for ignorance. The class begins, yo, let's go to the lounge. Would they start that class now? Let's go to the weight room. No, seriously. The class starts, let's go get something to eat. What food does he have for his soul? Stomach is full. What is about his soul? He has no food. Wallahi, he encouraged the brothers and the sisters to learn more about their deed, inshallah ta'ala, so that they don't fall into ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We're always wondering, what is the problem with our children? And we might be the problem. What's the problem with our children? We might be the problem. No. Because the Sahaba, the children of the Sahaba, they took things to a whole nother level. The Sahaba and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were at the Arabian Peninsula only. They didn't get out. The children of the Sahaba, they all in the, I don't even know, what's the ocean between America and Africa? Atlantic? They all in the Atlantic Ocean. The next generation in the Atlantic Ocean with the horse. Wallahi, the children of the Sahaba, they in the Atlantic Ocean with their horse till it come up a little bit. Then they talking to the water. If I knew you had some land in you, water, I'd go over there and make the people accept this now. Look what our children are doing. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. If they Muslim, we good. SubhanAllahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.